The text is the Gospel reading, Mark 14, 51 and 52. An iconic 1992 Gatorade commercial had a song titled, Be Like Mike. But the refrain, I want to be like Mike, well, that was the hook. Michael Jordan was at the zenith of his career, and who didn't want to be like Mike? Well, on this festival of St. Mark, who does want to be like Mark? There's much to commend him. Tradition has it that the house where the church was gathered during the imprisonment of Peter in Acts 12 is also the location of the upper room of the Last Supper in Mark 14 and of the first large church assembly mentioned in Acts 1. Acts 12:12 says that once released, Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Mark seems to come from a wealthy family. This has led to him being identified as the rich young man who went away from Jesus in gloom because he loved his riches more. What seals the deal for many that this young man was indeed Mark is that only his gospel says Jesus looked at that rich young man and loved him. Who but Jesus, or the one being loved by Jesus, would know that? If you have a house capable of holding about 120 people, as Acts 1:15 says, you have a big house, and you probably have money. The fact that the church is first assembled there means it's the first house church, and the owner is in it, the church. Read Acts 16. See how fervently a woman named Lydia demands Paul make her house a house church. Read 1 Corinthians 1. See that not many wealthy people were in the early church. Mark's family was. That's remarkable. And we find Mark at Antioch, having been brought there by his cousin Barnabas. Mark even goes with Paul on his first missionary trip. This means he was in the midst of the first ministry to non-Jews, which was controversial and difficult. It means he was at the place where Jesus' followers were first derisively called Christians. Christ, Christ, Christ. Everything always came back to the person and work of Christ. So they were called Christians. And Mark was here for all of it. This is of God's grace. Who wouldn't want to be like Mark? Not so fast. Mark fails the trustworthiness test. There's a website where you type in a name and it comes back with accurate information, at least about me and other people, and a trustworthiness rating. I was 4.6 out of 5. Mark, based on some things we know and some things we surmise, well, he's at best a 1.6. Yes, Mark did go on the first missionary journey with Paul and cousin Barnabas, but he turned tail and ran after the first stop. Luther Reed, a mid-20th century liturgy scholar, says that the Anglican 1662 colic for St. Mark contains, quote, what seems a disparaging reference to his desertion of Paul. How would you like to be remembered 1600 years later as a deserter? You want to be like Mark? You want to be the occasion of one of the biggest rifts in church history? Let's hear it in the Holy Spirit's own words. Quote, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Did you catch that? Barnabas and Mark, well, they sailed for Cyprus, but Paul and Silas left commended by the brothers to God's grace. Well, you know whom they sided with. You want the church of the first century siding against you? Then you don't want to be like Mark. Now we come to our controversial text. Only Mark records the young man fleeing from dark Gethsemane naked into the night. As John refers to himself in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved, could this incident be Mark's signature? Well, the word for linen garment is only used by Mark here, and along with Matthew and Luke, he uses it one other place. This word is for a very fine and costly cloth, such as a rich young man might wear. Who would be in Gethsemane on this dark night other than the disciples who accompanied Jesus, Judas, who knew the place, and someone whose home was the location of the Last Supper, the upper room, and followed Jesus from there? However, the "was following" could mean he was already a disciple. Well, that ended in Gethsemane. He had more fear of being caught with Jesus than being found naked. He'd rather be a coward than a Christian. Still want to be like Mark? Yes, Mark is hope for all those who stand naked and judged. He's hope for all of us who follow only to fall away. Let's say he was the rich young man in Mark 10 who went away gloomy from Jesus because he'd rather have riches now than salvation forever. Well, he comes around to following Jesus, maybe on Palm Sunday. He hears all that goes on in that upper room, the squabbling about which disciple is greater, the warning that one of them will betray him, their certainty that it's not me, the sudden departure of Judas, the amazing words of Jesus, "Take, eat, take, drink. This is my body given over to death for you. This is my blood shed on the behalf of you." He hears Jesus' loving prayer for his followers, and then Mark follows to Gethsemane. He witnesses the agony, the great drops of blood falling to the ground as Jesus prays in desperation for the cup of God's wrath to pass by him, but concludes by saying, "His Father's will be done." Then comes the angel to strengthen Jesus. Then suddenly there's Jesus and the mob. The high priest ear is the servant of the high priest, his ear is cut off, but it's healed by Jesus. His moment to confess comes, and he flees naked before the mob and God. But what's this? Paul's writing from prison to the Colossians, and he says, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." Now, this isn't a Hallmark card. Colossians is Holy Scripture. This greeting form is found in Romans 16. It means Mark is in fellowship with the Colossians, says St. Paul. Furthermore, they are to receive Mark. Reads 2 John 10. Quote, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house." By commanding the Colossians to receive Mark, Paul is recognizing his apostolic ministry. And note how specific Paul is. The Mark he's talking about is the cousin of Barnabas. Yeah, the one who turned tail and ran after one missionary stop. The one who occasioned a big, unseemly apostolic fight. Yeah, this is the one you are to commune with and whom you are to receive as a pastor. Yikes. Could there really be forgiveness that big, that complete, that gracious? Well, if Mark has that, I want to be like Mark. We're not done yet. Paul, on his deathbed, again writes from prison, this time from Rome, where he will die, and he mentions Mark. 2 Timothy, as you heard, is where Paul says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure," his death. 5 verses later, Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Wow. It's been about 35 years since that rich young man turned gloomily and greedily away from the saving Jesus and then back to him in Jerusalem and away again in Gethsemane. It's been about 20 years since Mark went boldly to where the Christians were first named, and then out on the first missionary journey, only to cowardly flee after one stop. 20 years since Paul wanted nothing more to do with that coward. But now, make sure to get Mark and bring him to me. He is helpful. He's useful in ministry. Oh, come on. How can that be? Mark walks in the steps of Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, and Paul. They followed and fell and followed again. But those are the steps of Mark. I want to be like him. Back to that linen garment. I told you only Mark uses this word to describe the young man's garment. He also uses it, along with Matthew and Luke, for the cloth that the dead Jesus is wrapped in for burial. That empty grave cloth proves Jesus is risen, and therefore God has put away his wrath against sins and sinners for Jesus' sake. If you were there in Gethsemane, having seen the agony, having seen the betraying Jesus and the fleeing disciples, and when your moment of confession came, you fled too, I think that moment would stick with you. I think if you had followed Jesus right till that point, it would bother you that when it really mattered, you failed. Like Peter's rooster, the charcoal, and the dunks in the sea, that linen garment you left behind would condemn you as a coward. See John 21 for how Jesus redeems the charcoal smell and the dunking for Peter. See Mark for how that linen garment does that for him. Jesus too left it behind, not as proof of him being a coward, but as proof that he is risen. Sin, death, and the devil are defeated, even those, especially those of a cowardly young man like Mark. See the bulletin cover. It's a takeoff from the statue on the Cathedral of St. Mark. Mark's symbol is that of a winged lion since Epiphanius, 4th century. Those Latin words, pax, tibi, Marseille, they're only a part of the inscription on the book that is held by the lion in the actual statue. The actual statue has pax, tibi, Marseille, evangelistus, mace, hic requisit corpus teum, which translated is, peace be with thee, O Mark, my evangelist, here thy body will rest. Venetian tradition, not church history, Venetian tradition has these words spoken by an angel to the traveling Mark. In later depictions, it's often just the words that are on your bulletin cover, peace be with thee, Mark. Well then, I want to be like Mark. I want to have Mark's peace of sins being so thoroughly forgiven that I can be in fellowship with the Colossians and wanted by the dying St. Paul, because though sinner still I am, I can be useful. I want to be like Mark. Though the linen garment I left behind is proof of my sin and sinfulness, the garment Jesus left behind is proof that these have been forgiven and God is at peace with me. And no angel tells me that I can rest in peace. Jesus himself does in every votum, in every dismissal, and in every benediction. Hey, Mark probably wants to be like me. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.